The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Can I share something that you share with us? This is how we don't know what's really going on with folk. We don't know. People come to church, they're looking for some help, looking for some hope, they're looking for some healing. I'm not here to try to hype you up. I don't need to hype you up. You know, you got a whole lot of stuff happening right now. Byron Keeling is in the office. He's talking to us. Happens to be talking about some different things, and he reached in his pocket. He said, you know, we talking about pain and we talking about all this other stuff. He said, you know, I actually carried these in my pocket, and it was a small bottle. It was a small bottle of nitroglycerin. Shocked a couple of us. Matter of fact, Deacon Griffith, he's not here. He said, you carry those in your pocket? I would have never known. He has to carry them for just in case. A man standing here tall, got on a black suit, ready to get ready for worship, but he's got a bottle of nitroglycerin in his pocket for just in case. He gave me permission to share that. I don't just tell folks' story. That's your story to tell. We just want to share in your breakthrough and your testimony. Here's my point in telling you the story. But just because it may not be a heart palpitation, it may not be ache and pain in your back, aches and pains in your knees, but you better carry around just a little bit of bottle of nitroglycerin called the Holy Ghost with you in your pocket to get you through a pocket of some stuff going on in your life. When you get a phone call that says, Mama, I need your help, Daddy, I need your help, but you gotta be strong enough, because you never know. That's why we can't play with praise and worship. This ain't nothing to play with. There's a difference between duty and desire. Some folk come to church out of duty, but I come desiring to be in the presence of God. I get it. I get my role. I get my responsibility. I get it. Choir's got to sing, musicians got to play, I get it. But if the presence of the Holy Spirit weren't here, I get having to stand on the door, I get it. But once we get here, now we got to fight to get into the presence of the Most High God. That's why every now and then, even the musicians got to take a praise break. That say, you have no idea. But I thank God that we don't always look like what we've been through or what we're going through right now. But guess what? I'm going through one last time. For every mountain that you brought me over, and for every trial that you, oh Lord, you saw me not around but through, and for every blessing, I can't help but say hallelujah. And right now it's for this. Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God, we come to you, Lord, recognizing your presence in this place. Lord, we bow down right now to your presence. You said that you would set up and dwell in the praises of your people. We dare not try to manipulate. We dare not try to mechanicalize our praise, But Lord, when we think, we thank. And when we think about how good you've been, when we think about how you brought us over some stuff, how you brought us through some stuff, and how you blessed us in spite of some stuff, Lord, we can't help but give you praise. We praise you for what you've done, but we worship you for who you are. Elohim and El Shaddai, you're a healer, you're a deliverer, you're a sustainer, you're a mind regulator, you're a relationship fixer. You can stand in the gap when the money's funny and the change is strange. And when folk don't even know what's going on with us, you know everything that's going on with, through, and even you deal with us. So Lord, we stand in your sanctuary, in your presence, to say thank you. And now this, whatever this is, it's all we have is right now. So for this moment, we give you praise. Lord, as we get ready to hear your word, we are prepared vessels. Open up the windows of heaven and let fresh anointing, the fresh rhema word, fall in this place. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's truly in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake that we pray. And let every heart say amen. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you do so. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47. What's going to be amazing is even... can't make this stuff up. I'm telling y'all, you can't make this stuff up. Because even in the midst of all of that praise, even in the midst of all of that worship, there's still a message that's going to hit home for somebody, for a whole lot of somebodies. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, the New International Version says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Acts chapter 2, starting with the 42nd verse, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Verse 47 says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Even in the midst of all the praise and worship, and this is the God has been hitting me hard with this. It's been a message that I've been walking with. I don't care if it's in corporate America or corporate worship. Folks still need to be more than just happy and hyped. They need some help. And this morning we're going to deal with a question, because I get it. I'm not here to prime your pump, but I'm here to make you think about some things. This morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to deal with the question, how do I restore passion to my life? How do I restore passion to my life? My God, you may be seated in the presence of our God. See, me telling you to stand is not passion in your life. Me telling you to put your hands together is not passion. Me telling you to give God praise is not passion necessarily. How do I, and that's a personal question, restore passion to my life? Thank you, brethren. My brothers and my sisters, while there are those times in our lives when we're really enjoying God's blessings and experiencing God's unspeakable joy, it's those other times. It's those other times when life is challenging, when life is difficult, and when nothing seems to come easy. Well, I recognize that there are some here who are saying, no, that's not me. I never have any bad days necessarily. Matter of fact, everything is always iry with me. Come on, somebody. See, I just went Jamaican on y'all. Y'all didn't know that. I might need a vacation. Come on, somebody. The fact of the matter is that we all, even if that's not you, that's all right, but don't check out of the message. Because the fact of the matter is that we all either live with, work with, associate with, and even worship with, come on, somebody, a whole lot of people who are having a difficult time enjoying not just their own lives, but life in general. So we build upon the message. I want you to write some questions down, and I know you do everything electronically, but this one I want you to write down because you probably won't be able to type it fast enough. But there are three questions that I need you to ask yourself, and I need you to ask and answer yourself now. And as we go out the message, I want you to think about them. And the first question is this: how healthy am I spiritually? How healthy am I spiritually? All right. Second question is, how do I know if I'm not growing in my faith? How do I know? How do I know if I'm not growing in my faith? Again, don't mix up duty and desire. Third question I want you to ask yourself is, do I have passion in my life? And if so, what is it? All right. Those are the questions. You can write them down. I said them. I believe they're up on the screen. I'll give you a minute. But not only do I want you to write them down, I want you to think about, just for a moment, I'm going to take just about 60 seconds for you to think about an answer, a right now answer to the question. How healthy am I spiritually? Think about your answer. How healthy are you right now? How do I know if I'm not growing in my faith? That's a good question. I want you to think about your answer. I'm not going to read your paper. You don't even have to crouch over and want no folk looking. They got their own answers and issues to their questions. Trust me. Third question is, do I have passion in my life? And if so, what is it? All right. The thing is, my brothers and my sisters, if you have a passion for something, then that means you love doing it. The dictionary says that passion is an intense emotion, a strong feeling. It's a great devotion. It's an intense conviction which fuels or motivates us towards some sort of compelling action. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Passion is the difference between enthusiastic action and simply going through the motions. Come on, somebody. Passion, it's the fire that's down in your belly that causes you sometimes, Sister Stephanie, to get up in the middle of the night thinking about what needs to get done on the next day. Another word I found in the Bible that uses for passion is the word zeal. Zeal. It's a word used in the NIV translation, amen. In our text here in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal. The Greek word is zealous, Z-E-A-L-O-S, and it's defined as a fervent devotion. It's a fervent devotion, but not just to anything. It's a fervent devotion to a cause. It's also a closely related word that's translated for fire, enthusiasm, earnestness. John chapter 2, verse 17 says this: his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. In other words, if you do the transliteration, his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal or fire or enthusiasm or earnestness will consume me. Amen. Person who possesses zeal has a fire in his or her bones that cannot be easily quenched. First passage here of Romans chapter 12, verse 11, again it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, not just doing anything. The Bible says serving the Lord. Now, why did it have to put that stipulation on there? Well, because we actually do get excited about all kinds of things. Come on, somebody. We are passionate about our work. We're passionate about our possessions. Let somebody step on your brand new white gym shoes. Let somebody mess around in them new shoes that you bought that you ain't trying to put a crease in. And some of y'all got tape on the bottom because y'all taking them back when you stop wearing them. We're also passionate about our sports teams. Had to spend some time in Cleveland this past week, and they were hyped about that playoff game that they keep talking about. They came back for more than, I think it was 25 points at halftime, and they were just woo, couldn't be. But then I heard an awesome story. I got to ask another permission from my man, Deacon Clark. He was telling us about his praise. I didn't give y'all the whole story. He was giving us his praise breakthrough. I told you he was going to be in the message. See, you didn't know that. My people are going to stop talking around me because y'all don't want to be in the sermons. Deacon Clark was telling us about his praise breakthrough, and he was talking about his eyes, and he said he's been worried about him. And see, a lot of people probably didn't know that, but because he keeps coming. You know, he keeps coming. He keeps serving the Lord, doing those types of things. He said, but when he went back, he said, you know, it was praise the Lord. But the one thing that did not stop, though, in the middle of him worried about his eyes, well, he didn't stop bowling. Matter of fact, brother was so passionate about bowling, he said he bowled with a patch on. Come on, somebody. And still challenged us and said, I think I can still bowl a high game more than you got with two good eyes. Come on, somebody. Because somebody asked him, well, how good did you bowl? He said, about 250, 251. I said, well, shoot, that's still better than me with both my eyes open. Come on, somebody. But we're passionate about a whole lot of stuff. But here's my question. If we're openly passionate about so much stuff, why is it that so many Christians are apologetic, if you will, about being passionate for Jesus? Why is it that we're so quiet when it comes to being praise and worshipers? Why is it that we are so apologetic when it comes to say, it is the Lord who has brought me over and brought me through? Why don't we have passion for the things that we ought to have concerning God and his kingdom? Well, I got some reasons. You got the questions up there, but I got some things that we need to think about. You know, I love to be happy, but I come to hit the intellect and the heart. Let's get real in here. There's some reasons why some folk are not very passionate sometimes on Sunday morning or any other day. It's because, number one, it's possibly now that we've allowed something precious, to become familiar or ordinary. Amen. See, coming to church doesn't wow us anymore. It's just something we do on Sunday. Come on, somebody. But the greatest weapon that the enemy, even when it comes to each other, even when it comes to our relationships, one of the greatest weapons that the enemy uses against our relationships, against each other, even with God, is this idea of tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'll do this or that with my family or friends. Tomorrow, I'll read my Bible. Tomorrow, I'll pray. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray twice as long tomorrow than I did today. Come on, somebody. Tomorrow, I'll call to see how so-and-so is doing. I'll do it all tomorrow. But here's the problem. Everything is always later or tomorrow, and we cannot afford to let the unknowns of tomorrow steal the preciousness of today. That's why we got to praise God for the this right now. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what next week is going to hold. But I know about this. Amen. So we're so worried about what might happen, what could happen, what could be, that we've lost the preciousness of the fact that it is still God who is keeping you and sustaining you right now. I know we got stuff to deal with, but it's right now. God has kept us, and that's the presence. Here's another thing that I think we got to deal with. Listen, I just preach practical points here, but another reason why sometimes we've lost our zeal or our passion is because there's too many folk who still have a need for approval. And that's in and outside the church teaching here, Holy Ghost. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, we all want to be loved, and we all want to be needed. Mm-hmm. We all want to be accepted by others. But if you want real passion teaching here, Holy Ghost, you need to recognize that while passion draws from some people, it will always repel or keep some others away. You passionate about, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord, that might rebuff some folk. But if you're trying to win the wrong people the wrong way by suppressing the fact that you are a woman of God, that you are a man of God, then we're trying to win the wrong people the wrong kind of way, and we're looking for the wrong kind of passion. Seeking a need for approval, desire for popularity. If you want to just want to drop a thought in your mind, a desire for popularity pours water on the fire of passion for God. And if we're not careful, because sometimes it happens without even thinking about it, we go, even when it comes to our jobs, be careful moving up the ranks. Amen. Because sometimes the attitude gets real rank. And it happens sometimes without even thinking. We turn the fire passion for serving the Lord down, and we trade passion for approval. Another thing that's hitting us today is apathy. It's apathy. That word simply means, it's a simple word, and it's actually a small word, but it actually means without love. People have become apathetic, even when it comes to the things of God, and that means they're doing a whole lot of stuff without love. What once caused our hearts to beat a little faster now barely affects our pulse. Come on, somebody. Good God Almighty. We fall into routines. We fall into ruts. Amen. And a synonym for a rut is a furrow. It's a groove. It's a channel. In other words, a rut is like a grave with the ends knocked out. Y'all didn't hear me up in here. Think about that for a moment. If you're in a rut, be careful. Because that means something is rotting on the inside. It's a groove. It's like a grave with the ends knocked out. You see, we become so routine about our faith that we become routine even about church. And we don't deny Christ, but we just don't. And but we actually to the point that we even demote him to a commonplace. He becomes ordinary to us. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. You're not going to find this on your screen. I can't. Listen, I used to think I was excited. I used to put everything up here. I used to just dictate. And then turn my little media people into stenographers. It's putting too much work on me. I said, my God. I said, well, I don't even need to preach. Just let them read the screen. No, y'all got to write some stuff down. You're taking notes, write this down. Apathy is not a state of mind. It's a condition of the heart. It's not a state of mind. It's a condition of the heart. Here's another thing that will affect you. Listen, this is another real, this is real right here. I talked about some things that will affect your zeal. First of all, I talked about the fact that we allow something precious to become familiar, ordinary. I talked about the fact that there's too many people in and outside of the church who are still have too strong of a need for approval. Talked about the fact that we become apathetic about a whole lot of things. Here's another one. People will affect you. Amen. People will affect you. You've heard the expression that birds of a feather flock together. Come on, somebody. I think it was Mama or Grandmama used to say that when you were growing up, that you are who you hang with. Who's in your circle right now? Huh? Who's in your circle of influence right now? Huh? It's a saying that reminds us to be careful who we spend our time with, because it can even affect your walk with God. When you take a red hot poker out the fire, Finley, you can think about this one. When you take a red hot poker out the fire and you throw it on a cold concrete floor, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen? Think about the science. When my scientist out in the house, what's going to happen is it's going to start to slowly lose its red glow. Yes, sir. Amen. So you got to ask the answer. So I asked the question, how do I restore passion to my life? There's got to be answers. And I just gave you practical points. Now I got to go to the Word of God. See, if you look in the King to tell you how to restore passion for your life, King needs the answers too. Amen. And when King needs passion for his life, he has to go to the Word of God. Even Pastor King has got to go to the King of Kings. Amen. So turn over quickly to the book of Acts. I want you to look at the book of Acts. Amen. Chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I want you to look at this passage of scripture, because this is where we're going to get our answers. This is where we're going to get our answers. For in this book of Acts, we find the disciples, the Bible said they were devoted. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. Or according to the King James, a New King James Version of the Bible, it says they were continuing in verse 42. Does your Bible say that? Amen. It says, and they continued in verse 42 steadfastly. One mark of anything which Jesus has established is that it continues. That's good news for some of us. Whatever God has started in you, you need to know it's not going to be thwarted by evil. It's going to continue. In other words, whatever he has started, whatever he has planted, whatever he has nurtured in you, it's going to continue despite any opposition. Despite any perils, despite any obstacles that try to frustrate, try to hinder the blessing that God has put in you, tries to stop and block the calling that God has put on your life, tries to keep all of the progress from happening, from you reaching the ultimate prize. Talking to somebody, if God has laid his heavy yet hopeful hand of redemption on your soul and on my soul and on our souls, you got to understand that there's a drive, that there's a propensity to keep on keeping on and not to give up. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, anytime you give up, it's always too soon. I looked at this passage of scripture here in Acts, and there were a few things that I found. There were a bunch of nuggets that I found, but I'm only going to lay just a few of them on you. It's in order, if you want to answer the question, how do I restore my passion? Now, I need to say this to somebody, because I always know that I'm talking to somebody who says, no, that's not me. I'm passionate about everything, including the Lord. I get it. But I need to bring you in, too. Because while you may not feel like you need instruction yourself, come on, somebody, I need you to at least have some good instruction to give somebody else. So if it ain't for you, get it for somebody else, because we want to give them right instruction. First of all, you want to tell them this, that the first requirement is there in verse 42. We must be devoted, or we must be continuing doing something. Amen. Luke warns us in verse 42, it says, and they devoted us, or he writes in verse 42, they devoted themselves in the NIV or continued steadfastly. It means that those in verse 41, see, you got to go back to verse 41. Those in verse 41 had gladly received Peter's words of witness about Jesus being the Christ. Too oftentimes, I don't care if it's in song or sermon, we're trying to overly stress and convince folk about who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. He's the Messiah. He's God come in the flesh. If you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, in other words, the Bible says, consequently, you have been added to the church. Those of us who have been not only convinced, but we've been convicted and we've been converted by the Spirit of God. Those were the ones who were devoted. Those were the ones who continue steadfastly into doing something. That's why you got to be careful when you ask folk. Sometimes, I don't care what church you go to, what's wrong? Didn't you feel anything? You got to be careful. Not everybody in the church is saved. Just because you sit in church don't mean you're saved. And don't assume that everybody who walk out the church is a child of God. As far as being saved. Now, we all were created. Amen. But it's a decision we got to make. That's why when Pope talk about hypocrites, it being in the church, and I say, amen. Because again, everybody in church isn't saved. Amen. But it's those who were convinced about who Jesus was. Those were the ones who were devoted, continuing steadfast and doing something. Now, to continue steadfastly suggests that you are headed, watch this, in a certain direction with a specific goal. You can't have your own agenda and be a child of God. Can't do it. It's an oxymoron. Amen. And that's significant because all of our lives are headed in a certain direction. Wait a minute. Watch this. our lives are headed in the direction whether you saved or not. Amen. Scriptures teach us that only those who are truly regenerated in the Spirit of God shall not be the ones who utterly fall away and perish, but they shall endure until the very end. Amen. For someone to continue or to persevere, they must be born again. The life must be touched by the redemptive hand of God. A whole lot of folk who have started, but there's still only a remnant of folk who are continuing. Fact of the matter is, we're talking about it on Monday night, your faith is going to be tested and your faith is going to be shaken. But it's when it's been tried that it becomes that genuine, true faith that it can continue even when confronted with some overwhelming odds. Don't think that just because we're here at church don't mean that we don't have overwhelming odds. Amen. There's some mountains that have been difficult for us to climb. There have been some mountains that have been difficult for us to even speak to and remove. But understand, I don't know about you. I've never tried to climb a mountain. I'm not a mountain climber, but I've never been told that you can climb a smooth mountain. You need some rough edges on it, minimally, for you to be able to just get a foot right in there, just to give you a toehold, just to give you at least a little bit of leverage up. So if you want to restore your passion, first of all, you're going to have to continue in some sound doctrine. Did you just see what I just said? You got to continue. And I didn't just say a bunch of sounds. I said sound doctrine. In other words, we got to continue some teaching that's healthy, that's conducive to growth. Church here in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I believe this church here called the First Baptist Church of West College Hill believes in serious study of the scriptures. Amen. Verse 41 says that they gladly received the word. Amen. They hungered to know about Christ. That's why Sunday school and Bible study ought to be an exciting time in the life of the church. It shouldn't be anything begrudging. You shouldn't have to drag yourself to Sunday school. Amen. Because I'm going to get to the second point here in a minute, which is my second point, that the mark of an individual or a church's maturity can be seen. Wait a minute. Watch this. When they can shout off of teaching, and not just because they've been told to shout. I say it again. The mark of an individual or a church's maturity can be seen, evidenced, when they can shout off of teaching. That's where I get, some of y'all wonder where I get these little phrases from. That's where I get that little phrase, when you think, you think. We don't want thinkless people in here. Because if you're thinkless, you're going to become, there you go, some of y'all got it. Verse 43 says, everyone, not someone, not just a few, everyone was filled with awe. And the many wonders and signs performed at the apostles, by the apostles. New King James Version says, and the fear came upon every soul. In other words, so if you're reading the New King James or the King James, you got to see that word fear, because some people misunderstand that. That now is translated in NIV. That fear is a sense of awe and wonder. Amen. Not enough folk are in awe and wonder when they come into the presence of God. Amen. When you are in awe, you you ever seen something that puts you in awe? Some of y'all get so we walk around with your mouth open, but half of y'all don't want to be born to be chatted because they say close your mouth before some flies fly in. No, go ahead and open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all. And wonder, my God, amen, amen. Something ought to compel you to open up your mouth. That's what we're talking about here in verse 43. That's what he's talking about. They were always excited. They felt something. There was an awe-inspiring presence of God anytime, not just sometimes, but anytime that you are in the presence of God, you're going to say something. The reason I know that is because even in the book of Psalm, in one of the Psalms, it talks about let everything that has breath. I mean, if you're breathing every now and then, you want to go in some church, it's never here. But you got to go in some church, you want to do a mirror test. They tell me if you put the mirror test, just check it for what? Never here. Other churches. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Y'all know that? Say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Christians in this text always being overwhelmed by the sense of the presence of God. See, the problem is we are always overwhelmed with our troubles. We are always overwhelmed with our trials. And we forget that although we have trials, we forget about our triumphs. We forget that we always want to come across as victims, and we don't recognize that if it had not been for the goodness of Jesus on my side, I wouldn't even be able to tell you that I've come through some stuff. But we are always in awe of our bills. We are always in awe of our struggles. We are always in awe of our stress. And that's why sometimes we got to tell folk to close your mouth, because they're going in awe, because they said every time I look around, they don't see the blessings of God. They think everything is brutal. That's why you got to be careful. Sometimes you want to ask nobody how they're doing. Because if it's always the same old, we got kids in here, because I will say the same old what I really want to say, but I'll just spell it. Some little sugar, honey, y'all spell the rest. Can't always be that. Can't always be that. Can you please edit that? Christians in this text were always overwhelmed by the presence of God. They lived and they moved and they had their being in awe. Sometimes you're going to have to get some word in you. And if you need to, if you can't pick and choose one and whatever it is, I got a good one, Psalm 8. Starting with the first verse, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. I mean, if you can't see what your way through about everything you got going on, look up. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 3 says, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man? Y'all don't hear me up in here. I can't get no help. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visiteth him. If you can't get happy about nothing else, think about the fact that it was the Lord God himself. Because this church kept on studying. Fellowship, and they kept on eating and praying together. They kept on praising and shouting the sense of his presence. That's why when they entered into the gates, they were already filled with his spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. And so, in other words, if you got to be careful about the fact that when you talk about the second point, that you have to be able to shout off of teaching. But then I made a point that says some stuff that affects you. So in other words, if people affect you, like I mentioned, amen, they can cause your passion to cool off. Then I'm going to get to my third point. Then we may have to watch who we associate with, and we might have to start associating with some passionate people. Amen. Associate with passionate people. The Bible says that every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread, and all of those things is right there in the scriptures. I don't know if you know all about the elements of fire. Again, I'm not here to be a scientist, but I will say this, that fire needs to be fed in order to keep growing. The simplest of that is just even in your charcoal, even in your grill, every now and then you got to put some fresh charcoal coals on there, something to keep that thing burning. And if some of y'all get happy, you pour that lighter fluid, quit burning off your eyebrows. But be careful. But you need something I mean, Greg, have you ever had more meat than you had charcoal? Come on, somebody. Fire needs to be fed in order to keep growing. But if that's true, even in the humor, hear me, the point I'm trying to make, if that's true, that people affect how we live and how we walk, then it's true that if we spend time with some people who are passionate about the Lord, it's going to cause our hearts to grow, not just bigger, but brighter. Remember the passage of scripture we preached one time ago, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when Paul reminded his young apprentice Timothy about the power of people that affected his flame. The Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, he said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, I'm convinced, I'm confident now lives in you. That's why you got to be careful sometimes. Folk don't always mean it as a compliment when they say every time you act up, you act just like your daddy. Or if it's your daddy talking to you and you acting up, you act just like your mama. Come on, somebody. People are watching. And if you're not careful, that spirit that folk carry on them can jump off on you. And that's why you got to be careful that you come in with a smile. Somebody else comes in down, their spirit jumps off on you, and everybody is having a pity party. Even in spirits, the law of gravity can come into play. It is easier to pull folk down than it is to lift somebody up. So be careful who you associate yourself with. As I get ready to close, there's a poem that I came across. I don't know. I'm unsure of the title. It says that I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry and get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I knelt and said a hurried prayer and jumped up off my knees. My Christian duty was now done. My soul could rest at ease. All day long, I had no time to spread a word of cheer, no time to speak of Christ to friends. They'd laugh at me, I'd fear. No time, no time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give to souls in need, but at last the time to die. I went before the Lord, you see. I stood with downcast eyes, for in his hands God held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into his book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, thank God he's not like us. Because we serve an on-time God. Amen. And as we prepare to open up the doors of the church and then transition into communion on today, I want us to revisit those questions that I had you write down earlier, and I had you answer. And now that you've heard the message, now that I've dropped a new thought maybe into your mind, or maybe brought back some thoughts into your mind, look at the questions again. How healthy am I spiritually? How do I know if I'm growing in my faith? And do I have passion in my life? And if so, what is it? And I need to ask you, if are your answers still the same? Or have the answers changed? Remember, the first requirement is that we got to be devoted. And we got to continue doing something. Second thing is that the mark of the church's maturity can be seen when they shout off of teaching. That's why you don't hear me always trying to prime your pump. That's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. But the third thing is we're going to have to make sure we're associating with passionate people. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 800-245-2224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.